our boss, after Neil had hired me. What's some fancy pants from one of the London papers doing down here? Brian didn't like me. Fine. I didn't like me much either. But I hadn't come back to be liked. I'd come back to get my head sorted out. Get a job and move on. Any job. Even if it meant covering bloody fates and fire station bake-offs. It was only supposed to be a stepping stone until something better came along. But I was still waiting to step in a different direction. Well? Brian glared at me. I know them, I whispered, my throat scratchy, my gaze frozen on the house before I corrected myself. Knew them. The ones who got sliced and diced. I narrowed my eyes, my mouth twisting with disgust and fury. Is that going to be your headline? I thought about Jess's mum, Barbara, the woman who'd fed me peanut butter and jam sandwiches and homemade fudge all those times, who always had a warm hug for me, who took me along shopping trips with Jess whenever she could. Barbara had been there for me in ways my own mum never was and never would be. Had Barbara heard the news yet? Or was she out somewhere, shopping, browsing in a bookshop or at the supermarket, looking for something tempting to eat for dinner, obliviously carrying on with her life, blissfully unaware of the horror that was going to shatter her? I pictured her collapsing, devastated, broken. Her daughter, son-in-law and grandson gone in a few horrific moments. How do you ever get over something like that? A TV news crew were setting up their equipment at the side of the cordon, ready to record the outside of 14 Draper Avenue. The smoked salmon and cream cheese baguette I'd had earlier curdled in my stomach. I desperately craved a drink to steady my nerves. I pictured the empty wine bottles in my bin at home. Had I finished off the whole of my stash last night? If so, I definitely need to get some more to make it through tonight. So, what do you know about them? Brian elbowed my shoulder. We were friends for a long time. My gaze followed an anchorwoman running her hands through her hair before refreshing her lipstick, wanting to look picture-perfect as she broadcasted to the world the awfulness of what had happened. Great, you can give me some background info for the story then. Brian leaned close to my face. I got a waft of beer breath and curry. I reeled back. I bet their kid always seemed like a psycho, right? Creepy, getting into trouble. Fights at school, nicking things. Probably a gang member, or into black magic. Cult stuff, maybe. Or one of those emos. It's always the way. Cynicism shot through his voice as he thought about ways to spin the story. I could see Brian's headline now. Monster slaughters family. I wasn't going to give him anything. At that moment, I couldn't give him anything either, even if I'd wanted to. The dean I knew wouldn't have hurt a fly. I scanned the crowd of reporters and rubberneckers, looking at the excitement and shock on their faces. Some people were filming the comings and goings of number 14 on their phones. One man in a baseball cap and black bomber jacket with badly acne-scarred skin stood slightly apart from the crowd, carefully watching the building and texting on his mobile phone, probably telling his wife or girlfriend he was going to be late home because something terrible had happened and he just had to get a good look. The clicking of camera shutters in unison drew my attention away from the man and back to the house. The photographers had focused on a detective with grey hair and a grey beard exiting number 14, stopping the gossip dead in its tracks. The anchorwoman shouted over to the detective standing outside the house, wanting to get a police statement. Brian and the rest of the press fired out questions, calling the detective by name, DCI Turnbull. He ignored the questions and spoke to a forensic officer suited in white overalls. Then a younger detective emerged from the house and said something to DCI Turnbull, who nodded gravely and re-entered the house. The other detective glanced over at the crowd, and our eyes met in a flash of recognition. Will Jackson. The nausea I felt cranked up a notch. A memory flashed into my head of the last time I'd seen him, me pulling on my underwear, feeling ashamed. Embarrassed. Will telling me how he'd liked me all through school, how he'd wanted to see me again even though I was going to London, the excuses I'd made about how a long-distance relationship would never work. Better that than have to look at the happiness on his face and tell him it was a drunken mistake. As mistakes went, though, that one was far from my worst. He looked more handsome now, with just a few extra lines.